of Christmas. Anybody ever watch Andy Griffith? Me too. Still like to catch the reruns over and over and over again. Well, Andy had a saying that I kind of adopted years ago. When he would remember something, he would say it, "Come to me." Well, when I sat down, it come to me. I just traveled everybody to Jerusalem, and we all know they went to Bethlehem. So please accept my profound apology. To Bethlehem we go. Our scripture lesson this morning is found in the second chapter of Luke, beginning with the 8th verse. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all the people. For today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men and women on whom his favor rests.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you were to ask me for one word to describe Christmas, what would it be? For me, that word is joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Last Sunday, I told you that we began the service by singing Brenda's favorite Christmas carol. There's a song in the air. Well, this morning we began by singing my favorite Christmas carol, "Joy to the World." For too many people, however, Christmas is either a day of difficulty, which we will be talking about in our Blue Christmas service tonight. And again, I want to invite all of you to come and maybe get on the phone this afternoon and call a few people and invite them to be at this important service tonight. And for many others, Christmas is just another day. Might be a little bit more expensive. It might be a lot of trouble, but just another day. How sad that the birth of Christ, the birth of the Savior of the world, an event that brought so much joy in heaven and on earth, should bring so little joy to so many on this earth today. But joy is not merely an emotion. Joy is a decision. And I truly believe that we can be as joyful as we want to be. It's all where you choose to put your focus. And so if you really want to have joy this Christmas, I want to suggest three places that we can focus our hearts and minds. Joy, J-O-Y. Let's focus on J for Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season. I like Christmas movies. I like Christmas specials. One of my favorite Christmas specials is the Peanuts or Charlie Brown or Christmas special. I look forward to it every year. And if you've ever watched it, you know that when Charlie Brown asks if anyone knows what Christmas is, Linus starts reciting the Christmas story out of Luke chapter 2. The real Christmas story, the story of how God became a person, a human being in Jesus Christ. John tells us that the Word became flesh. Now, why did God do such a thing? Because He loves us. Why was Christmas necessary? Because we need a Savior. Why do we celebrate Christmas every year? It's because of the gratitude we have for what God has done for us and the way He wants to bring afresh into our lives hope and peace and joy and love. Christmas is not primarily about us, our family, friends, church, presents. Although too often we try to make it about us and that adds to the stress. But Christmas is about Him. Christmas is about Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Have you ever heard the saying, out of the mouths of babes or children? One year, a grandmother asked her 5-year-old granddaughter, Ruth, "Did you get everything you wanted for Christmas?" The little girl hesitated, shook her head, and said, "No, but then it's not my birthday, it's His." Isn't it easy, so easy to get all wrapped up in the celebration that we forget what and who we're supposed to be celebrating? Well, the world does that. You might have noticed that in recent years, it's become politically incorrect to say Merry Christmas. Well, I want to go on record as saying I'm politically incorrect. The world wants us to say Happy Holidays or Season's Greetings. But I'm going to say Merry Christmas. And I say it to anybody and everybody I get a chance to say it to. But even without buying into the world's ways, it's so easy to forget about Christmas when we forget about Jesus. As Christians, focusing on Jesus not only means that we remember the Savior in the manger, but the Savior in our hearts. The year was 1809. The international scene was tumultuous. War was on the horizon in Europe. Napoleon was sweeping through Austria. The blood of soldiers and civilians was flowing freely. It was a time when nobody cared much about babies. But it was a year in which the world overlooked some tremendously significant births. William Gladstone was born in 1809 to an obscure member of the clergy and his wife. He would become one of England's finest statesmen. Alfred Lord Tennyson was born in 1809. He would one day greatly influence and affect the literary world. On the American continent, Oliver Wendell Holmes was born in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Not far away in Boston, Edgar Allan Poe began his eventful, albeit tragic, life. That same year, 1809, produced the cries of a newborn infant in a rugged log cabin in Harbin, Kentucky. The baby's name? Abraham Lincoln. If there had been news broadcasts at that time, I'm certain these words would have been heard. The destiny of the world is being shaped on an Austrian battlefield today. But in actuality, history was being shaped in the cradles in England and America. Similarly, everybody thought that taxation was the big news at the time when Jesus was born. But a young Jewish woman named Mary cradled the greatest good news of all. She cradled in her arms the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't focus on joy without focusing first on Jesus. Right now, for just a moment, let's focus on Him. In your mind's eye, see Mary holding the baby. See him walking up and down the dusty paths of Judea and Galilee and looking at people and saying, "Come follow me." See him in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prays, "Not my will, but yours be done." See him as he hangs upon the cross and gives his life for you and me. See him early in the morning on the third day, the first day of the week, when the women went to the tomb and were greeted with the news, "He's not here because he's risen." Jesus is the J of joy. When we focus on Jesus, it helps us to focus on each other. Christmas is the time when we celebrate the most wonderful gift ever given to us, Jesus. Because God's focus was to bring His love and His light to the world. Joy doesn't come from getting all we can get from others. It comes from giving all we can give. When we focus on others, we find joy. I hope that you have discovered in the almost 12 months that I've been your pastor. Wow, time gets away from us, doesn't it? Hardly seems like a year has passed. But I think you have discovered that I like to tell stories. And so I want to share with you this morning one of my all-time favorites. It's an experience that a man by the name of Robert Smith from Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania had when he was a child. He says, it's been 30 years since I last saw her. But in my memory, she is still there every Christmas. I was 12 years old, and Christmas was only 2 days away. And the season's first blanket of snow was falling. We were truly going to have a white Christmas. And so what would I do first? Would I build a snowman? Would I slide down the hill on my sled? Would I throw snowflakes up in the air and watch them flutter down? Would I fall in the snow and create a snow angel? What would I do first? As I was contemplating my decision, our family's station wagon pulled into the driveway, and Mom called me to help her take in the groceries. When we finished bringing everything in the house, she separated some out and then said, here are Mrs. Hildebrand's groceries. No other instructions were needed. Mom always shopped for Mrs. Hildebrand's food, and I always delivered it. Our 95-year-old neighbor lived alone, was crippled, could only take a few steps with a cane. I liked Mrs. Hildebrand. I loved talking to her. She told wonderful stories about her life, about a steepled church in the woods, about buggy rides on Sunday afternoon, about growing up on the family farm without electricity or running water. And she always gave me a dime for bringing her groceries to her. I would refuse half-heartedly, knowing that she would insist again and again until I did. And then 5 minutes later or less, I would be across the street in Bayer's candy store. As I delivered her groceries that day, I decided that this time I would not accept any money. That my delivering her groceries would be my Christmas present to her. Impatiently, I rang the doorbell. Almost inaudible were the slow, weary shuffles of her feet, the thump of her cane. The chain on the door rattled. The door creaked open. Two eyes peered through the crack. Hello, Mrs. Hildebrand, I said. It's me. It's Bob. I have your groceries. Please come in and put the bag on the table, she said. I did so more hurriedly than usual because I could almost hear the snow calling me outside. She sat at the table. picked items out of the bag, told me where to put them. I usually enjoy doing this, but today it was snowing. As we continued to talk, I began to realize how lonely Mrs. Hildebrand was. Her husband had died more than 20 years previously. They had no children. Her only living relative was a nephew in Philadelphia who never visited her. No one ever called her at Christmas. There would be no tree, no presents, no stocking. For her, Christmas was only a date on the calendar. She offered me a cup of tea, which she did every time I brought her groceries. I usually refused. But this time I decided to accept, and the snow could wait. We sat and talked about what Christmas was like when she was a child. Together we traveled back in time, and an hour passed before I knew it. Finally, she said, "Well, Bob, you must want to go out and play in the snow." As she reached for her purse, fumbling for the right coin. "No, Mrs. Hildebrand, no. I can't take your money this time. You use it for more important things." She looked at me and smiled and said, "What more important thing could I use this money for than to give it to a friend at Christmas?" So she placed not a dime, as usual, but a quarter. A whole quarter in my hand. I tried to give it back, but she would have none of it. I hurried out the door and ran over to Bayer's candy store with my fortune. I had no idea what I might buy: comic books, a chocolate soda, ice cream, candy. Then, out of the corner of my eye, I spotted a Christmas card with an old country church in the woods on the front. I imagined it looked just like the church that Mrs. Hildebrand had described to me. I just knew I had to buy it. Handed Mr. Bayer my quarter, and borrowed a pen to sign my name. "For your girlfriend?" he asked. I started to say no, but changed my mind and said, "Well, yes, I guess so." As I walked back across the street with my gift, I was so proud. I felt as if I had just hit a home run in the bottom of the ninth of the seventh game of the World Series to win the World Championship. No, I felt a whole lot better than that. I rang Mrs. Hildebrand's doorbell. Again, the sounds of shuffling reached my ears and the door cracked open. "Hello," said Mrs. Hildebrand. "Hello," I said. "Merry Christmas to you." Her hands trembled as she slowly opened the envelope, read the card, and began to cry. "Thank you very much," she said, almost in a whisper, "and Merry Christmas to you." On a cold and windy afternoon, a few months later, the hearse arrived next door. My mom said that they had found Mrs. Hildebrand in bed. She had died peacefully in her sleep. The light on her nightstand was on shining brightly when they found her. And it illuminated a solitary Christmas card with an old country church in the woods on the cover. If you want joy, and these are tears of joy, I promise you. If you want joy this Christmas, then discover the joy of others. Discover the joy of giving. Jesus said that whatever we do for the least, we do for Him. So if you really want joy this Christmas, find somebody in need. And in the name of Jesus, give them first of all your time and then your treasures. There are plenty of lonely, needy people all around us that the Holy Spirit will reveal to us if we're willing to ask Him and if we're willing to look. Joy! Jesus, others, and then finally, but also very important, we need to focus on the why of yourselves, ourselves. You see, our own attitudes determine whether or not we will experience joy this Christmas. We can let worry, stress, unforgiveness, discouragement rob us of the joy of Jesus. We all struggle sometimes. I'll mention this again in my sermon tonight. But yesterday, in the call session of annual conference, the last thing we did together was to celebrate Holy Communion. And then after that, we took the vote for those churches that wanted to disaffiliate. And I sat there during Holy Communion, and I booed. And then later on, when we were asked to vote, I booed again. But you know what? Jesus knew I was hurting. And He came and He put His arms around me. And He loved on me. And there was a woman that I have never met in my life sitting next to me. And she just reached over and put her hand on my shoulder. And it was a touch from God. All of these things try to get us, but we can choose whether we allow them to rule. How do I know that? Not only because the Bible tells me so, but because I have experienced over and over and over again. The healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the fact is, we can be full of faith or we can be full of doubt. We can be full of joy or full of the world's woe. I ask you to consider your thoughts, listen to your words, watch your actions. Ask yourself, do I have the joy of the Lord or am I wallowing in the mud hole? We are the only ones who can decide for ourselves to be joyful. God has a gift for us. It's the joy that we can unwrap when we focus on Jesus, others, yourself. Don't wait until Christmas to unwrap this gift. Why don't you open it right now and enjoy? J-O-Y. Joy. Amen.